Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America. We can't let him tear the kingdom down. This is no game. This is war. Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war. The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for A Call to Decision with Pastor Butch Paul. Satan's armies come to kill.
This is war. Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 21 November 2023. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're going to bring up a guest tonight that he's just a young fella. If he was my son, he'd be by far the youngest one, but he's a man that I've learned to respect over the last couple of years. We're going to talk to Jonathan Alexander, one of the head counselors for Liberty Counsel, and we're going to talk to about what they've done and what this gentleman's done. And I just feel honored to have him on the broadcast when I have a chance to do that. Before we do that, though, tomorrow night's program is going to be a special program. It's going to be a Thanksgiving program, a praise program. I want you, all of you, now listen, please. Tomorrow night, I want you to call in. A prayer request, yes, definitely. But let's keep it on a note of thanksgiving and blessings. Tomorrow night, I want to hear you, all of you. Everybody calls in about all the time, and more. All the new ones call in, and let's praise our Father in heaven. If you're born again and know who He is, and thank Him for the blessings you have, whether you consider them big or small. Let's thank Him for His blessings, and the main one, of course, is the blood of His Son Jesus Christ. Let's thank Him for that and for the salvation by His grace and mercy. But tomorrow night, like I said, it's going to be a special program, and I definitely want you to come in and join us tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, it'll be blessing night only. Don't forget that. Now, we will not be in the office Thursday, obviously. The office will be closed on Thursday and Friday. Lisa's going to take Friday off also. So we're going to take 2 days off this week, Thursday and Friday, and I hope you all don't mind that. I'm sure you don't. I got dinner planned at my sister-in-law's house with her family and for Thanksgiving, and folks, don't forget tomorrow night to call in and give praise for the blessings you have, okay? It's so important. And also don't forget to write to us. Email me or snail mail me. If you need a little bit of food in the house, now, Numana Food, Daniel Brinkman, is going to give away a bucket of food. Now, that's enough food to feed one person for a month. So about a week or two maybe, get out of the food. But it's totally free to the one who writes and says, I need a case of food, and tell us why. Now, I'm not going to spread across the airwaves who you are and why you need it. The most I will do is say we chose Bob from South Dakota something along those lines that's going to be receiving a free case or a bucket of food from Numana. Don't be ashamed to ask, folks. Please don't. Please don't. Don't be ashamed to ask. Be sure and write to us, email us or snail mail us and tell you need a case of food, all right? And a prayer request tonight about a little boy, 10 years old, got mauled by a pit bull. Well, anyone went on a pit bull, I have no idea, especially around children. But nonetheless, that's your business. But the boy got mauled. It tore his ear off. He's going to be going through several surgeries over the last, who knows, several months, I'm sure. So remember the old 10-year-old fellow, I don't know his name. It's called him by a friend of his grandpa. So please keep it low boy in prayer that the Lord touch that surgeon's hand, helping you through this with as least a pain and suffering that it can. Okay, now this please do that. Don't get a specials for the month. It'll be like the grab bag and a 3-book special. You can get them both $55, folks. You'll have enough reading and stuff there to do you for a while if you like to read and like to learn. Just call us at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. The specials, the both packets. Lisa can tell you what's in them if you want to call tomorrow and talk to her. But don't forget, she'll be off with Thursday and Friday. So if you want to call, try to do it tomorrow if you can, because it'd be nice if you can get it, because the offer will run out next week, of course, the end of the month. Now, without any further ado, we're going to go to a guest tonight. I want to say maybe someone of a celebrity. Jonathan Alexander received a Young Haitian Citizen of the Year award. Now, folks, this is nothing to laugh sneeze at. There were several candidates who were up for grabs for this award. All of them, I'm sure, are quite worthy. But he is chosen for this award, and I don't know a lot about it, but I do know Jonathan, and I know for sure that he earned this award. He wouldn't have got it, but I'm also thankful to know this man, and kind of proud of him in a way that I know who he is and the courage he has. And Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Pastor Butch. Thank you for having me on. It's always such a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, congratulations on your award.
Thank you. It's one of those things, Pastor Butch, a twofold award. You know, I'm a son of Haitian immigrants to this country. So my parents were both born in Haiti and came to the United States, of course, for the American dream, but also for a place where they could continue to worship God freely. And you know well that my father pastors a church in Massachusetts, in Boston. It's a very liberal. Exactly right. Yeah, it's a very liberal, politically liberal environment. In fact, some of the worst things, including gay marriage, started off in Boston, despite it having a rich biblical history. And so my dad is doing battle up there for the gospel. And working in Massachusetts, you know, I'm always on the front lines, as it were, against a hostile culture, against God's word. So to have in that setting not just a church thrive, but also a recognition for professionalism and citizenry from the U.S. Haitian Chamber of Commerce up there. They know full well, you know, my stand on religious liberty. They knew full well my stand against abortion. They know what I did for work, and out of hundreds of finalists, to be able to win that award was such an encouragement. It just shows that if you're willing to speak truth in a dark place, if you're willing to stand on principle, that even a secular world and uncommon friends will be able to lift you up and demonstrate to the world that there is truth that matters. So that award means so much in so many ways. It's a testament to my parents. I love being Haitian, love being a Haitian immigrant, love this country for what it's provided for, my parents and my family, but also a testament that if you stand for truth, that even the secular world will recognize it. So I think that above all else, that's what this award meant.
Well, I tell you what, Jonathan, I wish we weren't so far apart. I'd like to spend more time with you and your wife and your brand new little girl. I mean, really, congratulations again on that. That's phenomenal. I know that the day that they come into this world, your whole life changes forever, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I can share a bit about that, because there is a life story in there. You know, we've fought against abortion for all of our career, but it's not until, you know, my wife and I might have mentioned this last time, sitting there and watching the heartbeat of our 6-week-old child in the womb and realizing that, you know, those heartbeats is a lifeline. It was telling her mother and I that she's doing okay, and we just were hoping to watch that heartbeat for the first time on the ultrasound. We had an obvious pro-abort technician who said, oh, those are just electrical flutterings, right? Exactly right. Trying to disassociate our emotions and the truth of her heart beating, just in case we didn't want to keep the child. But we knew exactly what that meant. We knew that was the universal sign of life, and we were so excited to see her heartbeat at six weeks. The second pro-life experience that we had, just being early parents, was my wife needed progesterone, the hormone progesterone, in order to have that child live inside of the womb. It's the one hormone that her body produced before the placenta takes over. And so she needed that progesterone supplemented to her in pill form. But you think of this abortion pill that they have concocted and they mail to our neighborhoods. This abortion pill, the one thing it does is stop progesterone from getting to the baby. So the one thing that the baby needs in order to live, abortionists have concocted a pill to stop the natural process, literally starving the baby in the womb. And so even just working through trying to find the pills to help my wife supplement progesterone to keep our baby alive, we realize once again how important our fight is against the abortion industry, against the killers that are trying to murder babies, even in the womb.
You know, it's hard for any normal individual. I don't care whether they're Christian or not. Any normally moral individual has a hard time, at least I think they would, of even thinking about killing a child at any age, whether newborn or preborn. It's just hard to imagine, isn't it?
It's alarming, man. As you mentioned, your entire world changes when you become a parent, and it's because you see the world through a different perspective. You see God in many ways just telling you, hey, this world is going to continue, and my truth is going to keep marching on because of this life that I've given you. I have a plan for this one, and it's a plan that may last, you know, a year. It's a plan that may last 100 years, but it's a plan that I have for each individual life in my world. And for the abortionists and the abortion industry and those that they've seduced to participate in their industry, those that they've lied to and abused and used trauma to keep them participating in industry, it's such a lie. It's such an evil what they do to tear apart this natural wonder that God gives us, this supernatural imposition that he gives us every time a life is born into this world. So we're going to keep up our fight. We're going to keep up our fight against this abortion industry. We're going to keep up our fight for life. And our baby is a good reminder of why we should.
Amen. And, you know, the day that you know that she's in the womb, or they are born, it's like they've always been there. You can't imagine her not being there now, can you?
Oh, yeah. I remember life before her because we had a little bit more sleep, but I cannot imagine life.
I mean, what do you want to sleep for, man? What do you need to rest for? Gee whiz.
It's funny because she's, even when she naps and gives us, you know, 1 or 2 hours of sleep, we want to wake her up because we just want to see her eyes and, you know, see her smile back at us. So God knew exactly what he was doing when he gave the you know, parents the gift of life. My wife and I, and I'll share this because, you know, every time I share our story, it encourages someone. My wife and I struggled with infertility for 6 years. And when we met you, Butch, we had been trying for a very long time to conceive, and we hadn't been able to. And so our baby has been such a miracle to us on so many levels, and just a reminder that God is sovereign over the womb. He's sovereign over everything, but if there's anything that he's sovereign over, it's sovereign over the womb. So,
amen. Amen. Yeah. What a blast. Man, you are going to have a great Thanksgiving.
I heard you mention that folks should call in tomorrow to give praise, and that's our praise report for sure.
Amen. Amen. Well, you be sure and save that little baby now a piece of turkey now, you hear?
That's so great.
Oh, wow. Anyway, I guess we're going to get started. Ben, what you get me going on blessings and get tears in my eyes coming out. I mean, I just can't imagine harming a child. I really can't. I can't imagine any individual being evil enough to want to kill any child intentionally. I mean, I just can't see that at all. But nonetheless, it doesn't make sense. And again, you tell your daddy, and I admit the man, I love to, you tell him if you're ever down our way, you tell him to come by, we'll put on an extra biscuit in the oven and some more brown beans in the pot. How's that?
That sounds good. We're blessed by your ministry, Pastor Bush, and I mean that sincerely. There's shoulders that we stand on and guys that are ahead of us in the fight that let us know that we ought to keep going, so that, you know, those that come behind us find us faithful, that they're inspired by what God has done to our lives, and you're a man that we look to for that inspiration. So thanks again, Pastor Bush.
Well, God bless you for saying that. Appreciate it. And by the way, how old is your daddy?
67. Yeah, he's 67 this year.
you tell me he's still a young punk.
That's right.
I'm,
like to hear
I'm 75. Tell me he's still a kid. I don't want
to
hear any whine out of him.
Keep pushing.
But nonetheless, Jonathan, getting into some serious stuff here. Y'all have been involved in so many battles. You've won so many cases. I mean, your organization has been such a blessing to so many people. You've actually stemmed the tide of evil in so many different directions, and God bless you for that. But I know you have some certain stories you might want to share tonight. I don't want to get started on any particular one, but which one tonight would you like to share with the people that you are working with or in, or maybe already won, that they need to know about?
Well, I think it's most relevant that we're entering into, and we are in the Christmas season. I start Christmas as early as possible, but it seems that these 40-year-long battles that we've had to keep Christ in Christmas, you know, part of these basic understandings that if we're going to have a federal holiday that recognizes Christmas, then yes, federal courthouses can have nativity scenes, that yes, governors can make proclamations recognizing the Holy Family, and that yes, even students can talk about Christ during Christmas. These battles have been, you know, been waged for 40 years, and there's been a sudden uptick in the last few months regarding keeping Christ in Christmas again. We're fighting these fights all over again. Thankfully, we're fighting them on a better terrain after having gotten rid of the lemon test, after winning the Hal Shirtless flag case that says you can be in the public square, you can use public funds, you can be active in a setting that is government-oriented and still mention Christ and still mention the truth of the gospel. Thankfully, because of the legal cases that we've won in the past few years, we are able to pick up a lot of these victories. But it is a strange occurrence that, once again, we're having to fight these battles just to keep Christ in Christmas. It's a whole new generation of students. We just dealt with a case where students were given pamphlets that they had to take home to their parents that told them what Christmas movies they were allowed to watch at home.
I don't do all the Christmas paganism. I really don't. But the point of it is, this point is, they were told what movies they can watch at home?
Yeah, they had a list of certain movies that spoke too much about the Christian, and they don't even call it Christmas, the Christian spiritual holiday season. Even Home Alone, a purely secular movie, because they sing O Holy Night, because they go to a church, that was deemed not a movie that was appropriate to watch at home. And
How dare they tell them what they can watch at home with their parents? How dare they?
Imagine the audacity of these government officials saying that in order to have the right perspective on the holiday, you can't play this music at home, you can't watch these movies at home. And then they counter that by giving them a list of books that you ought to be reading to your children at home. And, of course, what is it? You know, it's Kwanzaa, it's talking about the African Jesus, or, you know, making stuff up, literally making up stuff that aren't grounded in any sort of history or tradition, certainly not consistent with what we understand as a Christmas celebration. And even disregard all the paganism. We're not one in this household either to care at all for the paganism, but we care about the Holy Family. Everything that they've done is to try to push that out. And it's not, if they have the boldness to send this at home, imagine what they're teaching their kids in school. So they're saying stupid things like you can't bring candy canes to share with kids for candy. You can't have Christmas cards that you're sharing with kids if they have certain items. It is astonishing that we're having to fight this once again in the government schools. But I agree with you. You're going to say it, that we shouldn't be sending our children to these government schools, to these government schools where they're training them to be secularists, but for the parents that are doing so, we have to pay attention to what they're teaching in these schools. They're using yet another Christian holiday to try to remove our biblical and religious underpinnings in this country, and we've been fighting against it. We fought for the past 40 years, and it's a strange occurrence that once again, here we are in the courtrooms fighting just to keep Christ at the center of Christmas.
Well, and again, I go back to tell them I think I watch at home. You know, I'm really pretty much a gentle guy. I don't get angry quickly, but some man tell me what I can do in my house makes me want to slap upside the head. You know, that ain't going to work in my home. I just isn't going to fly. You know, and if enough people say stick it where the sun don't shine, this might back off a little bit. But so this case, you're going through this again for this year, and you've won cases all year long that you would think after a while these people will learn that they're losing these cases now. They're not winning them anymore. But I guess they don't care because they're not spending their money. They're spending our money to fight this. They're spending our money.
And that's exactly right. The legal cases are, it's tipped so in favor for anyone that feels any type of offense to what they determine to be an establishment of religion can use government funds to go after displays of the creche, right? The Holy Family and that display, or Ten Commandments is a fight that has been a consistently fought fight, or the mention of In God We Trust. All these things are, at a minimum, part of American heritage. Even, you know, remove the religious aspects of it, they're just part of American heritage. But you add that final point of, you know, every Sunday we're reading God's word and hearing from a pastor on how to apply this to our lives. Every day we're picking up God's scripture. This is so much a part of American life, so much a part of daily life, of our daily bread. But it offends them, and so they try to get rid of it. They're trying in every new facet. And I'm with you there, Bush. Like, the question is, how do they come up with so much energy to do this? And it's what Scripture says. They're ingenious at doing evil. They're ingenious at their malevolence. They find
they're inventors. They're inventors of evil. They lay in bed at night trying to figure this stuff out.
Exactly. While we're, you know, God gives His children rest, and quite literally, while we're in bed at 11 p.m. at night, they're up, you know, at their bars and their clubs, and they're suppressing and concocting different ways in the morning to attack God's nature and God's truth. And they find, you know, they find their targets at the church, and they find their targets here in these Christian symbols and celebrations of Christmas. So that's exactly where we are in the fight. We're not going to let up. It's not because we want to elevate certain holidays over another. It's not because, you know, we have this pagan ritualistic tie to Christmas, but it is because it's the one opportunity that the world, or at least this nation, commemorates the entry of God into this world in His form, Jesus Christ. It's the one moment that we at least still set aside, one date that we still set aside, where we said light came into this darkness. That's why we celebrate it, and that's why we're going to keep up these legal fights in order to preserve it.
Well, I don't know how y'all do it, and I don't know how many people you have working for organization, but you must have lots of lawyers everywhere, because these battles, you would think, would be slowing down a little bit, but they're not. They're not. I mean, after all the victories, like I said, you've had, you think they realize maybe that we can't win this one, but they don't seem to care. They keep pushing and pushing and pushing. So I read over the last few months, of course, some other battles you've been involved in and still involved in. Fill us in on a couple more of them, because this is interesting. I want to know what y'all are doing. And by the way, maybe you can't tell me this. Maybe it's private information. But how many lawyers do y'all have working in different states that work with you?
So we have a handful of lawyers that are sort of at the top of the organization that, you know, can take on cases, can take on phone calls. When I say it's a handful, it is a small but powerful unit. Thankfully, we are able to ally with other lawyers in several states. You know, if we need to drop into a state and make a difference in that state, we do have lawyers in every state that we're able to ally with. Incidentally, one of the affiliates that we had very early on was the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who was able to be one of our affiliate attorneys out in Louisiana at the time before he came up to Congress. So we do have attorneys in every state we're able to do battle, but it really is a small but mighty number. And I like being small. I think we like being just a handful, because you can be agile. You know, you can steer a ship very fast if it's a smaller ship. You don't have to have that big of a rudder to course pivot and change in one direction and take on a fight. I often like to say we're like the Marines that can operate with just a rucksack, get in under the cover of night and do the damage that is necessary. So we're small and agile, but thankfully God has seen our faithfulness and has multiplied that faithfulness. It's very common for God to do that. I think of Gideon, who saw a great army in front of him, and God said, no, this is too many men. I need to whittle this down to a few agile, faithful folks, and you're going to sit back and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. God is still working in that way, and He's certainly working in that way through Liberty Council, keeping us small, tight, and agile, but certainly effective.
Well, I want to get into more cases also, but in case somebody's out there tonight listening, they've been harassed or persecuted for their cause, and just because they're a Christian on the job or where it may be, or in the streets preaching or whatever, they've been arrested, harassed by people. How do they know? How do they get a hold of you folks, and how do y'all determine who you can help?
Yeah, so the best way to get in touch with us is via our website, lc.org. So it's just five letters, the letter L, the letter C.org, or our number, which is 407-875-1776. So 407-875-1776. How we determine these cases, you know, we're a firm that does religious liberty, the sanctity of life, preserving the family, preserving natural marriage. You know, we're for limited government when it comes to our political advocacy, but really these religious liberty fights is where we find our best bearing and our heading. It's important that we do not cherry pick our fights. When the church closures started happening, there were so many folks that could have gotten into the fight that decided that they were just going to shut their doors and allow government to come in and dictate how they should operate their houses of worship. But we got right into the fight. When this experimental COVID drug came in and they were forcing individuals to choose between their job and their jab, there were several other firms, several other individuals that could have come alongside and helped the millions of Americans that didn't want to take this experimental vaccine. They shut their doors. We kept ours open and continued to fight. So we do not take cherry-picked fights. We do not take fights that are guaranteed wins. We take fights on principle, and we serve a God that honors that faithfulness. The reason why 30 years later, Liberty Counsel, by the grace of God, can continue doing the work is because we have men and women faithfully praying around the clock for our work, and we're still heeding the voice of God, still having scripture be our first premise in how we interpret any case, and then putting on the legal show that is necessary in order to redeem rights. So when cases come, it is principle first. It's politics and personality second. We're standing on truth. We're standing on God's word. And so we're going to continue that fight in that direction.
And folks, they run on donations. I do support them. And when I can, I send funds to them. I really do. I support them. God forbid, but one day I may call Jonathan up and say, Jonathan, I need help. And I think you'd be there, wouldn't you, sir?
Absolutely, Pastor Butch. I think we've mentioned this before. One of the more encouraging fights were those church reopening fights when it was important to say that the gospel message needed to be shared despite what was going on in the world. The gospel message is a lifeline for you and I. It's a lifeline for folks that are recovering drug addicts, recovering drunks, prostitutes that need to get off the streets, for divorce, you know, families that are facing divorce, for children that are committing self-harm. The one balm that we have to all that, the one healing that we have to all that, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so
Amen. We're
going to fight in every context that we can to make sure that the gospel is shared.
All right, hang on through the break. Folks, back at the break. If you have any questions, comments tonight, you feel free to call in. If you call already, that's fine. Tonight's a different topic, a very important topic. If you have any questions for Jonathan, 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. We'd love to hear from you. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men. Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive.
With organic ingredients and no fillers, made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of Carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war.
You know, folks, that theme song I've been playing now for almost 31 years, that could be the theme song of Liberty Council. This is war. They picked up the sword and shield, and they're in the battlefield every day for people like you and I, people that can't afford $100,000 attorneys. They can't afford that. People that have no way to defend themselves. They don't have the funds or the legal knowledge, so to speak. They may have the lawful law of God and be absolutely right. But in the court, that usually doesn't matter any longer. I mean, when you take Constitution, folks, and Constitution, I'm saying this very calmly and politely, has been perverted to the point it's no longer really viable in the court any longer. I mean, when women say they had the constitutional right to kill their babies, then a state like Ohio upholds that so-called right to kill the children. When they have a right for sexual deviance to get married, the Constitution, folks, is a piece of paper that really is all it is, and it's been perverted. The Word of God never changes. We cannot compromise the Word of God. I don't care what the law of man says or the Constitution says or anything else. The law of God is the law of for eternity, and there's only one sovereign, and that is Jesus Christ and his Father. I mean, that's only the God Almighty is the only sovereign there is. There's no other sovereign that you can go to. They are the Supreme Court. His law will stand forever. It's forever written in heaven. It'll never go away. Man's laws may laugh and mock and scorn, and you may go to jail for standing on God's laws. But remember, if you're born again, you've been translated in the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. You're a master of Christ. Act like it, and don't be ashamed of it. You don't, you're not given the duty to give your opinion. An ambassador brings forth what his king says bring forth. And whether they like it or not, it's none of your problem. You may be harassed because of it, persecuted because of it, but it's none of your business, is what I should say. You bring what you're told to bring and let God Almighty sort out the details. And, Jonathan, I don't want to start preaching, but I don't have much patience with somebody who says he loved Christ and compromises the world. I can't see it. I won't do it. That's all there is to it. I made enough compromises already through ignorance. We've all got ourselves into a hell of a mess through ignorance. But now that I know the truth, I'm not going any further down the road, if you know what I'm saying.
I think you're exactly right. You mentioned Ohio. So there have been four or five states that have taken the abortion issue to the ballot after Roe v. Wade was overturned. And we didn't need Roe v. Wade to be overturned in order for us to have pro-life advocacy, but it did open the door a bit for us to engage more openly with different strategy in terms of preserving life. So Ohio was one of these states where the other side came in and has tried to place, and they were effective in placing an unlimited right to abortion in its state constitution. But something you just mentioned was so important. The compromises that have been taken, I've seen, unfortunately, in the movement to advocate for life, I've seen a lot of people try to be cute, try to be pretty in terms of whitewashing what goes on behind the abortion curtain. And yes, saying that, oh, the reason yes, we can't have this constitutional amendment is for parental rights, or because, you know, we're not going to be able to keep accurate records. All these secondary causes or, lip service to all these other things and not talk about the actual heart of the matter, which is there never being any right to kill the unborn, to murder the unborn without limitation. And Christians that are been given this new opportunity, this new daylight to fight in the space to preserve rights, cannot compromise on any of this issues. This isn't a parental rights issue, as I've heard it been said. It's not any one of these other issues. It is strictly a life and death issue. And Ohio is a clear example of Christians having the opportunity to make clear statements about what we believe, but dropping the ball. And the vote for individuals that aren't willing to take a strong stand, God's never going to honor that vote. He's never going to honor a government by the people that doesn't make bold stands for him. And unfortunately, there are going to be other states in this next year. Maryland is up again. And if we don't change what we're saying, and if we don't start talking the actual truth against abortion, we're going to keep losing these fights.
I agree. And the battle's got to be fought from behind the pulpits. But I tell you what, brother, most pastors won't breach this topic. They won't tell the congregation that if you're going to vote, you're going to vote for the right of the baby, not the right of the parent to kill it.
That's absolutely right. It's pastors, you hear this thing all the time called church hurt, where you have people in your congregation that are hurting. They say one in every four women in America has either had an abortion, which means our pews are filled with individuals that are broken, that are hurting, that are carrying the trauma of abortion. But that's right where the Holy Spirit and the work of God works best to bring healing and repentance and restoration, but also truth. You cannot have compassion without truth. You cannot pull someone out of the fire without setting their feet on solid ground. And so pastors that are afraid to offend their congregation out of so-called compassion or out of so-called trying to restore them, you're never going to place them where they need to be. Amen. Unless you talk affirmatively about the truth. And pastors that hide behind the threat of losing their tax-exempt status in order to talk about these truths, remove the title from your name, get yourself another job, go do car salesmanship. Your place is not behind the pulpit. Do not be afraid of government. Do not be afraid of culture. And even in your best well intentions, don't be afraid to offend people if you're providing them a solution and a way out. And that way out is the gospel through the truth telling about the evil of abortion.
Well, and tell someone who's murdered a child knows it was sin, they don't know that they need to repent. They may be tore up inside, feeling guilty and dirty because of what they've done. But if no one's ever told them, hey, this was wrong, and there's an answer for that, you can be forgiven for it, they never had the truth of it. As long as a pastor compromises and is wishy-washy on the issue, they never get healed.
You're absolutely right. Just, imagine a doctor knowing what the ailment is and saying, "Hey, because you're feeling bad, you know, I don't want to poke this issue. I'm not going to give you the anecdote. I'm not going to give you the healing treatment because you're already feeling bad. I don't want you to have to go through the surgery that can fix you because you're already feeling bad." It'd be insensitive. We wouldn't tolerate that in any other situation. Souls are so much more important than that. Truth is so much more important than that. Once again, if pastors aren't ready to take that bold stand and speak directly the truth of God's word on any one of these issues, and it doesn't matter if it's the abortion issue or homosexual marriage or transgenderism or the onslaught of pornography that's occurring within our churches, the depression that's caused through social media, the suicide, even the incest that is literally on a rise in America, if we're not willing to talk about any of these issues, then we cannot call ourselves standard bearers of God's truth. We cannot consider ourselves to be Christians if we're not confronting the culture every time and in every place it offends God's word.
Well, now, your organization obviously defends many, many believers defending them doing their duty, what they know is right in the eyes of God. Do a lot of churches support you all and help you out, or do most of them kind of just go their own way?
Yeah, no, we are encouraged. And, there's this mega church picture that we have in America where, you know, the rows are filled with 5,000 people and there's a worship band up front. The vast majority of churches in America, the hugest portion of churches in America are, 100-person churches, 75 to 100-person churches, with faithful pastors behind the pulpit that have not forsaken God's truth, that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And it is those small churches that are really the lifeblood of our ministry, the lifeblood of our culture. And it's the individual folks that, tune into your radio station that realize the change that God has produced in their life and will attach themselves to anyone doing good and remove themselves from anyone doing bad. You know, those are the folks that really have helped and supported our ministry. And I'm sure you've seen that over the course of your ministries, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I say this before God with all the love I can for the folks listening to this broadcast. I've been on the radio this coming March. Jonathan will make me 31 years on the radio.
Oh.
31 years. And the money's come in through donations that long. And most of them come from people that, like you and I, they're not wealthy. They see what they can, and they try to help all they can. Most of us come through this kind of people, and I really appreciate it. I remember one little lady that lived in a nursing home in Texas. She passed away a couple of years ago. What a sweetheart. Always send a little lady along with their donation, $5 a month is what she sent. I never forget that. I mean, I miss her. I miss her letters. I know she's out there. Had one gentleman that would send a dollar. He passed away. So whether it's $1 or $1,000, and I appreciate people doing this, but the backbone of this ministry also has been folks like you and I and just humble people who see the truth of God's word and do not want to compromise it. And you out there on the front lines with these people that are put in prison for preaching the gospel, for standing up in a public school system, like we call school system, and taking a stand for the sake of the children, and maybe being arrested for speaking out in a parent-teachers association meeting. I appreciate y'all being there for them because that gives me a little bit of, I won't say more backbone, give me a little bit of encouragement to know that if I'm arrested for preaching the gospel on the streets of Somerville, West Virginia, I'm harassed for that, I have someone that's going to be my ally, and that's important.
I think you're absolutely right. You mentioned folks still getting arrested for truth. We're still in the 7-year-long battle for Kim Davis to be fully vindicated. It's 8-year-long battle for her to be fully vindicated from taking a stand against homosexual marriage. She was, of course, thrown in jail, won a victory where she didn't have to place her name on same-sex couples. But then you had all these frivolous lawsuits levied against her where folks were suing her for violating their rights. You had folks that were levying all sorts of frivolous civil lawsuits against her, trying to stretch the bounds of the law and really attack this poor grandmother, Kim Davis. We just recently had probably the highest level of consideration that we had on her cases, where out of 5 issues, we were successful on 3 of the issues. So 3 out of 5 win in this particular hearing that we had. But all is not lost. Those 2 issues that we weren't victorious in, were able to appeal that and use the appeal on those 2 issues to attack this so-called Respect for Marriage Act. You know, remember December of last year, the House of Representatives here on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. passed recognition of same-sex marriage in federal law for the first time really in American history they did that. Many organizations and many folks thought that it was a lost cause as soon as Congress passed it. Of course, the President, Joe Biden, signed it. You have the Supreme Court through the Obergefell decision. So all you were missing was a legislature to pass this. So when they passed it, it seemed to be a lost cause until we had this hearing with Kim Davis that opened up on these two issues that we can still go forward and not just win vindication for her, but challenge this entire framework. So we're going to appeal based on these two points that we lost, appeal that all the way up to the high court, and that may be the case. That may be the first shot against Obergefell, against the Respect for Marriage Act that really turns around what this nation has accepted in the past 10 years when it comes to same-sex marriage. So what these judges, what certainly these frivolous lawsuits have seen as evil, God can certainly use it for good. And so the Kim Davis story is not over. Thankfully, we're still in the fight with her, and it's a fight that if we're victorious, we can ultimately win the war once again for God's design for marriage.
Well, you know, it's amazing that you're taking the case of Kim Davis and taking it for an even bigger cause, so to speak, in a different direction to change federal law. I mean, that's a very intelligent move. I mean, you are to be commended for thinking that through. Thank you for that.
God is faithful. God is faithful in that regard. And it's because he sees the end from the beginning, right? Here we are, you know, we're waking up this morning and battling out. You've done it for 75 years. I've done it just a little bit shorter. But God has seen, you know, he doesn't work in time and space. He sees the end from the beginning. All he's waiting for is faithful men and women to say, I want to be a part of that. And he will superintend, he will place in your mind, he will place on the pages of Scripture reminders of how to be strategic about what he's given you. It is his world that he's given you a stewardship of to take dominion over, and he will give you exactly what you need through precepts and principles on exactly how to do that. So it really is God just allowing us to play a part in his overall story. So in this small way, we're going to keep fighting, even when there are seeming setbacks. Even the nights that Kim Davis spends in jail, even these 8 years that she's had to go through an ordeal, we look at the timeline and say, man, God has been working throughout all of it, and he certainly will have the last word.
And you think about what one little lady from Kentucky, well, I guess you say, like most of us, she was considered a nobody, I guess, as far as the world goes. But in the eyes of God, she was a warrior. One little lady from Kentucky said, no, I will not violate the conviction I have from God's word and issue this license for you two perverts to live together and call it marriage. I won't do that. I will not do it for the glory of my God. I won't do it for the sake of my grandchildren. I won't do this. And she went through some hell through that, so to speak, in some ways, but she's still standing. You know, I don't know how much greater hero or heroine than you can have than that. And folks, phone lines open, 844-769-2944. If you have questions, comments, you're welcome to call. We're talking to a gentleman tonight that's on the front lines fighting every day for folks just like you and me. And I do appreciate that so much. And again, if you want to support him, we'll give his phone number again in a second. Or you can call me and get an address if you want to send a check instead. We'll do what we can, folks, to help these people because they're helping thousands of people all across this country that are simply trying to get the gospel of Christ out in the face of evil. And I know you're aware of the parents who've been threatened with arrest because they're speaking up in school meetings, and they've been called terrorists, and all this is going through, and they've been escorted out of meeting rooms because they spoke to mind. They've been escorted out of meeting rooms because they read out of the children's books as they're full of filth, and they walked them out. I mean, what's going on with that, Jonathan?
No, it's so incredible. We do have a comprehensive plan for parents, and we've all seen the images of parents being at school board, reading about things that, honestly, Butch, if you were to say this on air, if you were to read the things on air, you'd be censored from the FCC. They could take you off the air for reading out of these children's books. There's no shortage of example of that actually occurring if you were to say these words. but they want seven-year-olds to be able to access this. So we have a comprehensive plan for the rights of parents where we first fight for transparency. There is nothing that can be said behind closed doors when it comes to teachers to students that their parents can't hear. So we're fighting for these transparency laws so that parents have access to literally every word that's being said. And that includes when they bring special guests. One of the things that schools have been doing, so they don't have the liability for it, they say, oh, we're bringing this special guest in to come in. And, of course, who's this guest? You know, it's a drag queen. It's someone from Planned Parenthood. It's some individual, some pervert, really is what it is. And we know they're perverts because when background checks are done against them, a lot of them have been found to have sexual deviance in their background, or they'll be sex offenders. Here they are coming to school and teaching kids. So one of the things we've done is making sure that parents know that every person that comes in front of your child at school, every word that's said, every book that is available to them, parents have full transparency in order to read them. But there's also a secondary thing that schools have tried to do is by asking kids to fill out surveys. So they'll give a survey to a kid where they'll ask, you know, sort of innocuous questions. What's it like at home? What's your family life like? But then they'll go into details. What are your sexual preferences? What are certain things you want to experiment and try out? And they'll say, well, it's education-based. We have to know what our students are concerned about in order to teach them curriculum. But what they're doing is grooming. They're grooming through these surveys. And so, you know, we've taken another action step where parents are able to see these surveys and keep these surveys out of school, that you're not allowed to ask anyone under the age of 18 these particular questions about their sexual preferences or their desires, and you're not allowed to use that as a launching pad or a bridge to try to groom them. So I think it's very important that you mention what's going on in these school boards and what's going on inside of these schoolhouses, because we do have action steps that parents can actually take in order to fight back against this.
Hey, man, I want to make one comment. We'll take a phone call. It's been 10, 12 years ago. I went to high school 3 years at a school in Mill Creek, West Virginia, Tigers Valley High School. Went my last year in Richwood High School. But nonetheless, they were going to have a preacher come in and speak at Tigers Valley High School, where I spent 3 years in school. The home where you met with us, where we do the studio and put out the call decision broadcast on Saturdays, that's Phil and Lynn Hudock. They taught at Tigers Valley High School. They were going to have me come in and speak. They would not let me come in and speak. I was not allowed to come into school. Now, I was kicked out of school, but I was in my 60s. But anyway, so it's amazing. It's amazing. But let's go. Let's talk to Gary in Arizona. Gary, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Butch, and hi, Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan, when I heard you speak on Butch's show, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I kind of lose track of time now. But, you know, at that time, you know, since I do a street display, showing people what abortion truly is. So, I get a lot of pushback out there. But the first time I heard you talk, I took your phone number and I put it in my wallet. And so if something happens to me out there, at least I know that I could call you and get some help. And it's getting late, so I won't speak very long here. But I do thank people very much who do something. You and Butch are doing something. You know, a lot of people talk about things but do very little. And, Butch, as you know, a lot of times I'll call in when you have a guest like this on, and I'll just ask people. I'll say, hey, just drop a couple shekels in an envelope, you know, and send it in to Jonathan there to help the people, the good people that are there. Because these are people who do things. They don't just talk about things. They do things. And God loves a doer of his word.
Amen.
And,
you're absolutely right, Gary. I'll just say what doing is. There are so many examples on Scripture of folks standing out and speaking, you know, directly to the government or directly to truth and power. But there are proverbs every day that just tell us how to treat your wife, how to treat your family, how to raise godly children, and that is doing something. I talk often with men who are in leadership positions or, you know, going out in the public square, and I'm encouraged by that sort of work. Encouraged, of course, by the calling that God has placed on my heart. But oftentimes it's a conversation of a guy that just comes up to me and says, you know, I've got four kids, and all of them are getting baptized in the next year because you know they've made a commitment to Christ. That is doing something. That is the arrows that God has given you to take over the world, to really change the world for His good. You know, it may not be on a mountaintop, it may not be out in the open, but it's the daily devotion, it's the daily commitment to Scripture that we can do every day in our household that has kept a righteous sentence, that has kept a country and a nation close to God. And so we can do it. Of course, there are opportunities to stand up above the crowd, and of course, God, you know, honors and calls people to do that, but He calls us every day. It's those Amen. Quiet watch fires at night. And I'll just use a quick example from the Battle Hymn of the Republic when we're fighting a civil war. Some will say the War of Northern Aggression, but when we're fighting the Civil War. The author of the Battle Hymn of the Republic said that she could see him in the watch fires of 100 circling camps, and the image was it wasn't so much the standing army that showed their prowess. It was when they would not turn off their campfires at night, when they were ready at night, even for the fight, that you could see God's righteous sentence. So it's that daily devotion, that daily work of leading our families that God sees as actually doing His work. So thank you for that encouragement, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. And by the way, don't get Ted on. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night for a phone call.
I know, Butch. My wife will be leaving me and calling you tomorrow.
All right, brother. I love you, Gary. Have a good night, buddy. Appreciate you. All right, one more time. Give the number out for how they can contact you on. Folks, write this down. If you miss it, I got it. Go ahead and give it to them again if you don't mind, Jonathan.
Yeah, so it's 407-875-1776. 407-875-1776. And then the website is five letters, lc.org.
And, folks, LC stands for Liberty Council, lc.org. Check them out, and let's support them if we can. Jonathan, please give your lovely wife a hug from all of us and your baby a kiss on the top of the head, and tell her we love her, okay?
I will, for sure. First thing I do when I get right back upstairs.
Well, you do that, and you tell your daddy sometime, give him my phone number and have him give me a call.
Certainly, we'll do that too. Pastor Butch, thank you again for your faithfulness.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for all you do. I will see you somewhere down the road. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Folks, I want to say, I mean, that organization is standing for the truth and helping people stand for the truth. People like Gary, they would back in a heartbeat. And I'm honored to know people like him and Gary and all of you out there that have supported us so long, but not because you support us. It's because you glorify God. I mean that. For the grace of God, I'll see you tomorrow night for Thanksgiving night tomorrow night. I want you to join me. I'll be disappointed if you don't. Have a great night. Good night.
Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.